Make it happen. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the final phases, and it's 2:30. It's 2:30, and you're done with the ninth step. But I thought we couldn't do this in one day. Did I lie to you? Did we bring it through? We're already on the eighth and ninth step. My name is Doug, and I am an alcoholic. I want to thank Terry Audio Service today. Thank you, Terry, for this wonderful taping. You can reach Terry in Louisiana. He's a homeboy here. Terry, terry.rogers@lusfiber.net. My name is Doug M. You can reach me at dmuir01@gmail.com, and I'll give you any information you need, including the packages that I have. It's always an honor to speak to everybody around the world. It's a great day of being sober. So what we're going to do is we are going to go to steps 8 and 9 on page 76. Page 76, 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and two we are willing to make amends. We made the list when we took inventory. That means step 4, the harms done others. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. The word now, page 76, third paragraph. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage in the past. Okay? I want you to go to page 77. Top of the page. It says, at the moment we are trying to put our lives in order, but this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and to the people about us. If you go down about 4 sentences on page 77 from the top of the page from where we just left off, it says, why lay ourselves open to being branded fanatics or religious bores? We may kill a future opportunity to carry our beneficial message. Folks, when you're knocking on the door and you're going in and you're going in and you're ready to do battle, right? Don't say, I found God, because he wasn't lost. Okay? So, what I have my sponsees do is I just finished the 4th and 5th step with them. I show them how the 6th step works, and I bring them through the 6th step here in the book. I show them step 7, we get on our knees. Steps 8 and 9, I read through it in the book, and I show them the card here. Now I start giving them instructions. I say, I want you to go home with the 6th step. And I want you to mark off each one that you think you are and write a little explanation to me. Now, we have the harms done others from the 4th step. I take that out and I put it to the next of this. And I start his list. I say, you start off with your mom. You make copies of this 8th step, 9th step worksheet that I have right here. You put the name on the top and the telephone number. I want you to put a plus or a minus. Plus means I'll do it. Minus means there is no way in hell I'm doing this amends. Got it? And then what he does is he fills out the name. And at the bottom of the card, he writes down what harm he has done to the person. He takes that, he puts it to the side, and he gets the next person on a separate card. Takes that, puts it to the side, gets the next person on a card. And they normally come with you with about 10, 20, 30 amends. All marked minus. There's no way I'm doing this one. You got to start turning those into pluses. Okay? It's going to be overwhelming. Have them go out and do one, and then they're going to come back and they're going to be fired up. Fired up. There's some that aren't going to be able to be seen. They're going to need to write a letter. My father died. I wrote him a letter. I went to his gravesite, and I hung it up. Okay? The girl that I totally, totally destroyed in Knoxville, Tennessee. There was a home for abused women. And I didn't know who she was. And so I couldn't go make amends to her. And so what I did is I went to this home. It's on top of a hill, this beautiful house. And I volunteered to do work. And about the 6th month that I was working there, I was helping these women, and they were talking to me, and they were telling me about all this abuse, and it was just crushing my heart. But I'd listen, and I'd listen, and I became their friend, and it changed my life after 6 months. And then finally, the owner of the house saw me on TV, and she called me into her office, and she says, "You're that guy." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm that guy." And she says, "Why are you here?" And I told her why I was there. I told her what I did. I told her why I was there. And she said to me, she says, "We forgive you." And to this day, you know, that changed my life. And she said, "So you could leave." And so I made my amends. You know, I made my amends to that girl in Tennessee by helping I don't know how many women in that house over 6 months. And then just to have that lady say, "We forgive you, you could leave," was totally awesome. So what I'm getting at is that there is not an amends you cannot make. You have to be willing to go to any lengths. Has anybody heard of that one? Well, let's try to read about it over here. It says here on page 77, if you go to the first paragraph, four sentences down, it says, "The question of how to approach a man we hate will arise." So circle hate and highlight it. You're gonna hate a lot of people that you got to go make amends to, so you might as well figure out how to do it now. And it's going to tell you how to do it. That's on page 77, first paragraph, about four sentences down. The question on how a man we hate will arise. If you go down four more sentences, it'll talk about, "Nevertheless, with a person we dislike." Circle dislike. How to make amends with a person that you dislike. "We take the bit into the teeth. It is harder to go to an enemy than to their friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our formal ill will feeling and expressing our regret. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell them that we will never get over drinking until we do the utmost to straighten out the past." So I'm going to my mother. I'm making amends to her. I put a knife to her throat one night. I wouldn't show up for weeks at a time, 18 years old in Manhattan, New York City. Not a good thing. And I wanted to grab her and say, "Why didn't you pull that animal off me?" But the big book says I cannot criticize. And so I sat down with her and I said, "Listen, you know, this is the harm I did to you." And then I said to her, "Are there any more harms that I have caused you?" And then I shut up and I listened. She says, "You will have no idea how you made me feel by not coming home. You have no idea what you did to me." I stay up, and she told me story after story after event, and I'm like, "Oh my God." And then now I have children. You know what I mean? It's a different type of love when you have a child. And I understood that, and she started crying, and she says, "You know, when your father was beating you," and it was just like, oh, the floodgates open. Because 9 times out of 10, the unexpected is going to happen. And she just started making amends to me and crying, and she told me why. You know, right or wrong, she had huge fear. She had never worked a day in her life. She had no money. She didn't know where to go if she took the four kids. She just didn't know. She didn't know. And so that was her explanation to me. Okay? It says, "We are there to sweep off our side of the street. Realize that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so. Never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed." I never discussed that with my mother. She brought it up. It says, "We stick to our own. If our matter is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the results. In 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happened." Do you think I just make that stuff up? It's in the big book. And that's a true statement. Okay? I want you to go page 78, second paragraph. "Most alcoholics owe money." Not you in here, though, right? Circle that one. "We do not dodge our creditors." So, I am big in the hole. Big in the hole. And I don't know how I'm going to get out of it. But my sponsor said, "You will not buy one thing for yourself until you finish these amends, or else you're stealing from them. So you maintain status quo. I had an 89 Bonneville that I rode to the wheels fell off. All right? I did not buy anything until I paid off. It took me 7 years, and I'll explain how that worked. Okay? There was a situation in New Jersey, and it was another woman that I just totally destroyed. And so I called her up, and I made an appointment to meet with her. And she said to me, come over to my house, Montclair, New Jersey. So I go over to her house. And she opens up the door, and I'm thinking, I was single at the time. I'm thinking, oh, we're meant to be back together. You know, whatever. And so she let me in. I told her my gig, and I said to her, I said, do you need to tell me how this hurts you? And for 2 hours, she explained what I did to her. And then I said to her, is there anything I could do to set right this wrong? And she says, are you serious? I'm thinking, I shouldn't have asked that question. And I said, yeah. She goes, come with me. And she brings me to her sister's restaurant. And her sister comes running out of the back with a knife. Oh, kill him! I am not kidding you. And I'm standing there. No, he's coming to say he's sorry or amends or while he's doing something. Right? And so I sat down and I made my amends to her in the middle of this restaurant. And then I asked her that question. Is there anything I could do to right this wrong? She says, are you serious? I felt like saying no at that point. And so she brought me to her mother's house. So now I got two of them in the back, and I'm at the mother's house. Now the mother and father had divorced, and the mother now is with this big gorilla guy. And I go walking into the house. And she's sitting on the couch, and she looks at me. She goes, Dougie, they call me Dougie. Dougie Muir. And the guy looks at me, this big guy, and he goes, is that the scumbag you've been telling me about? And I'm like, holy shit. And so I went there, and, you know, and I made my amends to her, and I wasn't going to ask the question. I didn't care if there was anything else I could do. But I said, is there anything else I could do to right this wrong? And she says, are you serious? And they packed me in the car, and now I'm going to see Mr. Ex-husband. And he drives me, and he came running out of the house, and he was going to hit me. And so we don't crawl before anybody. So I set up, and I was going to hit him to protect myself, and then I was going to leave. And the mother stepped in the way, and he did not accept the apology. He didn't call the cops, and that was that. And so I got in the car, and I'm thinking, what the frick am I doing? You know, I hit my sponsor. I'm calling him up. And so I dropped Christina off, and she's walking into the house, and she turned around. And she says, you know, I've been going to therapy now for about 14 years. She says, you have changed my life today. She says, I am done. This is complete. Never call me again. And she closed the door. So that went over big. And I'm glad I was able to help. And so that hurt very much. And I got back on an airplane and flew back to Washington. I walked into my Wednesday meeting. My sponsor's there. I'm like, there's no way I'm getting on an airplane. Just because I can fly for free doesn't mean I got to go make direct amends. He goes, oh, yes, it does. I was thinking about writing GSO in New York saying, he's abusing me. Right? Just because I'm an airline pilot and I get to fly and make amends. And so he go, okay. And he go like this. And he says, so where are you going next week? And I'm like, phew. I was like, there's only one more left. And, you know, I made all those amends, and there's one more left. And it was to the state of New Jersey. So I said, all right, well, I'm going to need a couple weeks to prepare for this. So I had to call up the airline and say I was going to go do jail time. Right? Because when you turn, it says here on page 78, on the third paragraph, it says, perhaps we have committed a criminal offense, which might land us in jail. There was no date, no doubt I was going to the big house. It says, if it were known to the authorities, we may be sure and the accounts are unable to make good. We have already admitted to our confidence to another person, but we are sure we would be in prison if to lose our jobs if it were be known. And there's no doubt. There was bench warrants out for my arrest, and I was going to jail, and that was just that. And I was okay with that. Let's all have a moment of silence for Starbucks, please. Shh. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't have a problem. Used your card. This beautiful young lady just gave me her Starbucks card, and I was like, I love you, man. So I had to do a criminal offense, and on page 79, if you look at the first paragraph, you go down to the last sentence, it says, we may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must not shrink to anything. And I knew that, and I lived that. And so if you go to page 80, it says, before taking drastic actions at the top of page 80. So I knew this was a drastic action, and I had to make amends. And so before taking drastic actions, we might implicate other people. We secure their consent. If we have obtained permission, we have consulted with others, and asked God for help, we must not shrink. Those are three things you do. I talked to my sponsor about it. He says, go for it. So then I had to talk to my employer, and he goes, you're doing what? I called up the chief pilot. He says, whatever. And then I pulled my family together, and I just had a divorce, and I was paying a lot of money. And my sisters and my mother said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. While you're away, we'll pay your child support so the kids are taken care of. And so I was ready, man. I was ready to go. I just could not keep going like this for the rest of my life. I couldn't look over my shoulder. How free do you want to be? That's what I wanted. I wanted that with all my heart. I wanted it with all my heart. I was going to just go do a few years. I'll get out. The union was cool. The airline was cool. You know, I was just going to go do it. So I get in this car with my mom. I got this little duffel bag, like, you know, they got closets in jail. And I go walking to New Jersey. I go to the state troopers. And, you know, I kiss my mother goodbye and I walk in. Man, and I tell you what, if you didn't think I wanted to throw up, piss myself, poop myself, I was all over the place. And this great, you know, we all have great, beautiful reputation up there for being kind, gentle-hearted people. So this, you know, New Jersey cop goes, what do you want? I said, you don't know who I am? I was looking for, like, you know, posters of me. He says, what do you want? And so I told him where I was. And he says, oh, we've been waiting for you. How you been? Click, click. He puts on the handcuffs, and I go, all right. So now I'm in the back, and they got these, you know, mirrored windows. And so the district attorney comes walking in. He goes, do you have any idea how much paperwork you just caused me? And I'm like, I'm in handcuffs. Do you think I care? And he goes, why are you doing this? And I told him. I say, I may not overcome drink until I straight up in the past. I don't want to drink again. I don't want to drink again. So let's just get this over with. He says, but you know, you got this, you're an airline pilot, and you got this, and you got that. He was looking at all the exterior stuff. I'm like, yeah, but let's start looking back, you know, pre-80s, early 80s. And he says, well, this is the damnedest thing. I've never had this happen to me before. I don't know what to do. I'll be back. So I'm like, you know, can you take off the cuffs? It's not like I'm going anywhere. Oh, yeah. So they take off the cuffs, and I sit there, and it was, I don't know. Could have been a few minutes. It was, felt like 9 years. And I'm sitting in this room, and he comes back. And he has these papers like this, and he slides them across the table. He says, read it. And I read it. And I owe them 6 digits. Yeah. And that's not including .00. It was a lot of money that I owed the state of New Jersey. And so I said to him, in the big book, it says, we make the best deal we can. Right? Sometimes we hear an alcoholic say that, no, that's not it. It says, here it says, we make the best deal we can. So I said, okay, could I pay you $250 a month? And I brought my contract. I had a contract with me to show him what I could pay. I said, I'm going to pay you $250 a month because I was paying people literally. I was mailing out $5 here, $10 there. Every week, it was every Tuesday, I would put money in all these envelopes and I would send money out because a lot of them wouldn't cash checks. But I had to get this out to the universe because I had to get it away from me. And I would put cash in envelopes. And I had it all set up, being the anal engineer that I am. And so he looked at me, he goes, are you negotiating with me? He goes, you're in freaking handcuffs. And I'm like, hey, I'm being serious, and I really want to pay this off. So we agreed it was like $250 a month for the first 4 months, and then went to $500, then it went to $1,000, then it went to $1,500, and so forth and so on. June 2nd, 2002, I made my last payment. Yeah. And you know what? I made my last payment to everybody. Everybody. So this is 1996. He was my last SOB I had to make amends to. I completed it. It was done. It was finished. So he let me outside. And I'm standing outside in Totowa, New Jersey. I'm like, with my little duffel bag. And I'm thinking to myself, I didn't plan on this. So I turn around and walk in. And the sergeant looked at me and goes, you're back? He goes, what do you want, more? And I'm like, no, I just need to use the telephone to call up my mom. You know, my mom? And he looked at me like, whatever. I'm like, mommy, come pick me up, you know. So she picks me up, and I'm standing in front of this state trooper place. And I get in the car, and she says, where do you want to go? Well, I was free. I was done. I was equal with the universe. I could have done anything. I could have went anywhere. I don't know. I was like, take me to the airport. So she took me to the airport, and in Union Airlines, we allow each other to fly on this thing called a jump seat. It's an extra seat we have in the cockpit, and we let under Union pilots fly on it for free. And then we always say, when the door closes, just go sit in first class. And so I went on United, because I wasn't flying for United, so I could use that name. And he says, yeah, just go in first class. So I sit in first class, and I'm sitting next to this old lady. And all of a sudden it hit me that I was equal with the universe, that I owed no more amends, that I had a payment plan, and that I was done. And this overwhelming God consciousness came over me, and the obsession of alcohol for the first time ever went away. And I just started crying. Like, the floodgates opened up. So here's this airline pilot flying on this other airline in first class screaming, oh, God, I just want God. And that's all I was saying. And the lady next to me is petting my head. And the flight attendant's going, you want what? And I want God. And she's going up to the flight deck. It was the most embarrassing moment of my life. My spiritual awakening was first class United Airlines going to Washington from Newark. And I'm wanting God. And you know, when I settled down, I couldn't believe the freedom that I had received. The freedom that I received. You are missing it if you haven't completed your steps. We can make excuses all day. I could sit here and go like this to you all day. I might get harmed. They might get harmed. You might get harmed. It's bull. It's all bull. If you go to somebody that may be harmed and you ask them, they'll say, whatever. 9 times out of 10, the unexpected happens. I have never drinking since then or drugged. And it's because I finished and completed the 9th step of Alcoholics Anonymous. From that point on, I just wanted God. And I devoured every book. Every spiritual book from the Quran to the Bible to the Buddhists, the Tao. I would have, who are those people that knock on your door? Jehovah's Witnesses would come into my house. I'd be like, come on in! They'd be like, coming in. And about 3 hours later, they'd be like, can we leave? No, let's read the Bible. I got another coffee over here. They wanted to leave my house. And they never came back. And then I had this sponsee who gave me this book, and it changed my life, and it was my God, and I read it every year. It's called Conversations with God, Book 1, and that is my God, if you want to know what my God is. And I read it every year I read it, and from there it got me onto prayer and meditation, and from there it got me onto visualization, and today I have everything that I've ever desired, and a perfect example is in business. You know, we're having apparently economic hardships right now. And I wanted I wanted to start this wonderful restaurant in Charlottesville, Virginia, and I took a picture of this crack house Amtrak train station, and I put it up, and I visualized it, and I wrote my speech underneath it. And 4 years later, 2001, February 1st, I opened that restaurant, and I did that speech on that stage. And I never stopped because I believed I was worth it. I believe in myself, all right, just like all you do. Because if we are truly a piece of the master, of the maker, of God, then aren't we all great? And why is it so bad to say you're great? Why is it so bad to say I'm great? I mean, what is that falseness? I don't get it. We are all great, okay? The one thing about Alcoholics Anonymous that just burns my ass is how we just beat up on ourselves. I hate that. I really do. Stop it. You have gotten to a gang that is just awesome. This is the best group I've ever belonged to in my entire life. Ever. Ever. And you could have anything that you desire. If I told you that. There was this long-haired, bearded man, 2010 years ago, who said, ask and you shall receive. You think he's joking? In prayer and meditation, what I do, and I'll tell you this more in detail in 10 and 11, in prayer and meditation, when I sit there in the morning, I look at myself in five different stages of my life and say, I love you. I love you. I love you. And guess what happened? When people say something bad to me, I was like, oh, wow, that hurt. I didn't like that. Because I love myself now, right? My sisters used to cut me up all the time, but I believed it because I was a piece of crap. And after practicing that in 1 year sobriety, I was in their house. And my sister said something to me. And I said, whoa, whoa, stop, stop, whoa. And I pulled everybody in. I said, you ever, ever talk to me like that again, you'll never see me again. I was like, if I talk to you like that, I'm apologize. I love you. I adore you. You're my sisters. And you're my mother. I never want you to talk to me like that again. And they never have. And we have the most unbelievable loving relationship. They call me up for advice. Me, the homeless guy who used to stink. Okay? That was my motivational speech. Let's go to page 82. It says, sometimes, page 82, first paragraph. 82, first paragraph. Sometimes we hear an alcoholic say that the only thing he needs to do is keep sober. How many of those people do you see walking around the rooms with 30 years sobriety, about ready to light like a torch? Poof! Talk about a dry drunk. Keep cigarettes away. You know, it's one guy. I know he doesn't listen to tapes, so I'll my name is Chester, and I got 32 years sobriety. Oh, my God. He spews venom. I never worked a step in my life, and I'm just fine. Holy sh! Yeah, Chester, you're my man. It says here, if you go to page 82 on the third paragraph, you go down four sentences, it says, we feel a man is unthinking when he says that sobriety is enough. Just not drinking is not enough, folks. We got to make amends. My ex-wife, I have never, ever been late on a payment to her, ever, ever. I could have stopped paying. I could have stopped paying her last October, and I still continue to pay her because she's ran into some financial hardship, and I still continue to pay her without a question because I'm blessed that I could do that. My kids, I'm there. All the time. I was supposed to leave from here to go to a meeting in Atlanta, Charlotte, and I was going to make it back home by Thursday. That ain't happening. My older son calls me up from Florida State University, who got 4 A's and 1 B his first year in legal, right? And he says, they're giving me this award. He says, would you mind coming? I just canceled everything, and I'm going to be there. So I'll fly back to Jacksonville, I'll drive to Tallahassee, and I'll hang out with him for a couple days. This is the stuff that we do for our families, for our kids, okay? It's taking responsibilities for your actions. I'm sick and tired of people handing out like this for government or for whatever. It's my fault. It's the please support me. We don't need that anymore. Let's take responsibilities for our actions, you know? Once you do that, it's amazing how your life will change. It is truly, truly amazing how your life will change when you take responsibilities for your actions. I want you to go to page 83. It says here on the third paragraph, third sentence, it says, some people cannot be seen. I want you to circle that because there are some people that cannot be seen. Mine was my father, my brother, the girl from Tennessee, and did I have to write a letter? somebody else. I may have to write a letter to somebody else, but it says, we send them an honest letter, and there may be a valid reason for postponement in some cases, but we don't delay if we can avoid it. We should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble without being servile and scraping. God's people, we stand on our feet. We do not crawl before anybody. Remember that. So what I do is I have them write a letter, and I have them read it to me. And then we fold it up, and we write it out to 123 Main Street, USA. And then we go 12345 as a zip code. We put a stamp on it. We bless it, and we send it out. Okay? That's just a little thing we do. It's not like burning your four-step on the beach. It's mailing out the nine-step letter. It's getting it out there because we got to get it out to the universe. We got to get that stuff away from us. When I made my last payment, my business life changed like that. The amounts of money that came into my life was just numbers that I used to dream about. It all just started coming. People were coming into my life. Everybody wanted to help me to develop what I desired to develop. Okay? But you got to get rid of that stuff. Got to get rid of that stuff. You don't get rid of that stuff, the universe is not going to replenish it. That's just my experience. All right? And then you have the ninth step. It says on page 83, if we're painstaking about this phase of our development, we'll be amazed before we're halfway through. You know what I was amazed? That I was still doing that ninth step. And that I was on an airplane every week. Knocking on doors. People screaming and yelling. It wasn't good. Holy smokes, it wasn't good, I'll tell you. I'd love to sit here if you're about ready to do the ninth step and say it was the easiest thing I've ever done. It's going to be ugly. Get over it. Just do it. Get it done. Make it happen, as I say. All right? I want you to turn to page 84. I want you to turn to the second paragraph. It says, this thought brings us to step 10. I want you to circle step 10. Now, I used to go up to people, they say, I worked the steps daily in my life. I'm like, really? You really do? How do you do it? Well, I think, or I don't think, or I don't drink and go to meetings, or I, you know, they were just like giving me these cliches. I don't worry about it. I let go, I let God. And so I said, really? When I asked my sponsor, how do you work the steps daily in your life? He brought me to this page. And he said, this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory. And above personal inventory, he wrote step 4. That's the fourth step. So write step 4. And continue to set right any new mistakes. Any new mistakes. That's step 10. Because you're doing step 10. You're taking continue to take personal inventory. So you write step 10 above any new mistakes. As we go along, we vigorously commence this way of living as we are cleaning up the past. So as I'm doing the ninth step, I'm doing the tenth step. As I'm cleaning up the past, I'm doing the 10th step so that I don't continue to make mistakes. Okay? It says here, we have entered the world of the spirit. That's step 11. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for a lifetime. I do this every night, and I'm going on 15 years. Every night. I don't care what country I'm in. Continue to watch out for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these things crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. That's step 6 and 7. Remove my character defects. Step 6 and 7. We discuss them with someone immediately. That's step 5. And make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. That's steps 8 and 9. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone that we can help. That's step 12. That is how you work the steps daily in your life. Step 10. Okay? Now, I have forms that I'm going to show you and share with you on how we and I challenge you to do this starting tonight. And for those of you that are here with sponsors, I want you on a weekly basis to meet with your sponsor to look at this. Because it's very clear cut on what's going on in your life if you have 7 pages of a 10-step 4, a nightly inventory on what's going on. Especially if the wife is on there 7 times or the husband is on there 7 times. You may have a little problem with resentment. Okay? It says here at the bottom of page 84, it says, and we have ceased fighting anything and anyone, even alcohol, for by this time sanity will have returned. Sanity was taken away in step two. God would restore us to sanity, right? And step 10, you're here. You're sane. You're not worrying about the drinking. You have your spiritual awakening. You're moving forward. You're rocketing into the fourth dimension of existence. It says here, because for by this time sanity will have returned, we will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it like a hot flame. We will act sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has become given to us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes, exclamation point. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. Is that big or what? The problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor we are afraid. That is our experience. That is, so long as that is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. If you're not fit spiritual condition, you are not going to have the 10-step promises. You got it? So write down 10-step promises on top of page 85, that paragraph I just read. It is easy to let up on our spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured. Circle that. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. So, we have a daily reprieve, right? So the first thing I do when I get up in the morning, this morning, which is today, this morning I woke up, I got to my knees. I said, God, please remove the obsession of alcohol and cigarettes. I've been cigarette-free for 13 years. Please remove alcohol and cigarettes from my life today. I love myself. Amen. And then I go take a shower. Then I come back. I read my 24-hour book. I read my spiritual book called Science of the Mind. I set my alarm for 20 minutes, and I sat in meditation. I have five pictures of me through life. As a real child on a tricycle with Timmy Heel and red suspenders. I love that picture. Second grade with no teeth. High school graduation, college graduation, and now. Picture now. And each time I say I love you, have a great life. Enjoy yourself. I say that. Sounds kind of weird. I do. I still do that to this day. Okay? And then I just sit there and I let my mind go. And then the alarm goes off. Okay? I thank God for letting me know him better. I read five non-denominational prayers that you will see on here, steps 10 and 11 worksheet. That's every prayer in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I say five of those every morning. Okay? Just choose the ones you like. Those are five non-denominational prayers. All right? Then I get up. Take a shower. Normally either go running or work out at the gym. It's a mind, body, soul thing. I do yogas on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I do weights on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Okay? Mind, body, and soul thing. It really does work. Except when I'm in Louisiana and I eat unhealthy, which is phenomenal. I love it. Thank you very much. Okay? And then, if you have a significant other, try that with your wife. Try it with your husband. It'll change the dynamics of your life. In your relationship, because you're going to be operating on a different plane. All right? I want you to go back to the book. It says on page 85, at the bottom of the page, step 11, last paragraph. This is it. We're coming to the end. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude. First paragraph, page 86. When we circle, retire at night and highlight it. When we retire at night and highlight it. If you notice, I have a worksheet. It says steps 10 and 11 worksheet. Steps 10 and 11. If you notice, it says when we retire at night. It shows you the questions. I just broke the questions down. Okay? It also says next, if you go to the next paragraph of the big book, on page 86, second paragraph, it says, on awakening. Circle that and highlight it. On awakening. I read that every morning. At night, I answer these questions on this sheet. So I have seven of them at my bedside on a clipboard. A little anal, I know, but that's just me. And I answer these every night. If I have a resentment, I fill out a resentment form. If I have a fear, I fill out a fear form. Does it make sense? I fill these out every night. I challenge you to do that every night. Your life will change. Okay? It says on page 87, first paragraph, we usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day our next step is to be. Turn to page 89. It's working with others. Before we go on working with others, I want to tell you a story. 5 years ago, I hear a thump in the shower. And it was my wife. My wife's very tiny, very little tiny Italian, about 5'4", 115 pounds. And she's, I'm going to try to do this without choking up. It's probably not going to work every time I tell the story. And so she's in the shower, and there's blood pouring out of her body. And she's talking in Italian. So I call the ambulance, and we take her to the hospital. She's all hooked up everywhere. I mean, it was bad. We had this huge company. It was before I sold this company to a Wall Street firm. It was huge. We worked all the time, and it was, And so I just stayed by her bedside. So the doctor told us that she had this thing and she had 5 years to live. And so I was like, wow, okay. So I sat back and I was really on the beam of life. And I didn't question what God was doing to me, what God was doing to my wife. It just happened. And I said, you know what? I said, this is going to be the best 5 years of our life. We are just going to sell everything. We're going to have a yard sale. We just did this huge deal with Wall Street. And I walked into my partner's offices, and I said, buy me out. And they're like, what? I said, buy me, I'm out. And I told them about Valeria, and they're all sitting there. They were drinking champagne because we just did this big deal with a hedge fund that was owned by Goldman Sachs. And so they said, we can't afford to buy you out. I said, I'll put the deal together. You can afford it. I'll make it happen. And I did. I made it happen. And I was supposed to go. I was supposed to speak at this conference in New Jersey. It was in February. And I called them up. I said, I can't make it. They said, no. Please bring your wife. It was in a nun university, believe it or not. There's actually a, where you become nuns. It's like a university in New Jersey. And I was a guest speaker. And so I asked my wife, and she loved these people. It was called ANA, Alcoholics Narcotics Anonymous. It's something that just started. It's very big now. And so I went up there, and it was a Friday night, and I started talking, and I just broke down because I was talking about the four step, and we got into fear, and I'm like, oh, you know, I was losing everything. And so the next morning, there were 60 people, and we went into this prayer and meditation. My wife was there, and it was called The Healing Light. I didn't know what they were doing, but they all conspired and got together. And we did this thing called the healing light. And so we're there, and about 30 minutes later, we feel this healing light. We feel this bright light. And Ray says, okay, everybody, I want you to put the bright light on Valeria, which is my wife's name. And she was sitting there, and she said she felt this huge bright light come upon her and just whoosh, through her body, and she started crying. And she cried for 3 days. I used to call her the Roman shield. She does not cry. And she was crying and crying and crying, and so I didn't know what was going on. It was weird. So we got back on an airplane, and this is the winter in New Jersey. We went back to Sarasota, and it was a Thursday now, and we went to go see the doctor. And she came in, and she says, "Hey, you guys look tan. Were you at the beach?" I was like, "No." Her color had returned. And we said, "No, we were in New Jersey. We had this spiritual retreat, and, you know, with this doctor." And like, "Oh, that's nice, you know, patting you on the head." And so she did some tests, and she came back. She says, "Where were you?" And we said, "We were in New Jersey at a spiritual retreat." She said, "Your thing is removed. It's gone. It's been 5 years, so she's considered cured. Gone." So we sat there, and we're like, "Well, what do you mean it's gone?" She says, "She no longer has this problem." And so, you know, from that point forward, I knew that I was going to be a preacher, you know, of the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and of a fellowship. But just think about it. If I never was an alcoholic, you know, I never would have had all this. Never. And so I am a firm believer that we use our bodies and our brains about 1%. That we are not scumbags. We are not. I think we're the chosen ones. I believe that. I'm not just saying that because I'm one of you. But I truly believe, time after time, that we are the chosen ones. And I've seen this work time and time and time again. And when you see a person in your house, get that spiritual awakening. Get that I'm not a scumbag anymore. Get that just sense of, you know, I got 1 year sobriety. They're picking up a chip and they point at you and they say, "Thank you." Or when a wife comes up and says, "Thank you for the new husband." If you're not sponsoring people now, you are missing the icing on the cake. And the only thing I showed you today was how to bring people through the steps in one day. We're done. That's it. It wasn't that hard. The only thing you're going to add to this is 1 hour of time for the four step. And I've explained to you on how to do that. That's how you take somebody through the steps. And if you don't think God is with us, look at what we have accomplished here in Alcoholics Anonymous. We have lost sight. We have lost track. Just like our government. Whether you're Republican, Democrat, or Independent, we're totally different than back in the 1700s. We just needed to get back on track. And to get back on track, we just got to do the basics right now. The basics in Alcoholics Anonymous. So work the steps. Get a spiritual awakening. Help others to achieve that spiritual awakening. Get a home group. Help AA flourish, and then go to meetings. On page 89, I want you to write on the top of that page, step 12. Chapter 7, working with others. That's step 12. Step 12. I want you to highlight this one paragraph, and then that's it. Practical experience shows that nothing so much ensures immunity from drinking. If you're immune to something, what does that mean? Can't get it. Immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholic. Two times, it talks about permanent sobriety. That one time right there, and on page XVII, when I read it to you, and it said here, it also indicated that strenuous work, one alcoholic with another, was vital to permanent recovery. If you want to have permanent recovery, start helping others. Bring them through the big book, bring them through the steps. Okay? Everybody has their package? Does anybody not have a package here? You know, it's an absolute honor to come here in Gumbo Land in Louisiana, in a Houdat Land, whatever. And to be a speaker, I hope you all have just learned a little bit that it is possible to take people through the steps in a day. That sobriety, true sobriety, and real Alcoholics Anonymous, not this stuff that we're having now, the Alcoholics Anonymous light, is real, and it's wonderful, and it's loving, and that you could achieve anything that you desire in life. And I am perfect proof of that. I love you all. Thank you very much for everything. Thank you. He's been,
thank you.
Yes. Thank you. All right. They wanted out by.